All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? I'm doing all right. Week's been a little rough for me. It's been hectic in one way or another, and things don't tend to work for me. It's just one of those weeks where everything seems to break on me, but that's life. That happens. Today is Family Sunday. How many elementary kids do we have in the room today? If you're in elementary, raise your hand. Sweet. I need you guys to come up front for an example here. Can you come up front for me? Thank you, guys. I need you to line up on the stage here horizontally, and let's do it from shortest to tallest, okay? Shortest over there, tallest where I am, all right?
All right, you're gonna watch me work out today.
All right, tallest over here, shortest over there. Let's go one line right here. You see this fake line on the stage right here? All right, set that here. Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, 5 objects. I think we can make this work. I need you two to stand behind that little plastic bag right there. Can you do that? Yep, right here. This way, yep, right behind this plastic bag. You've got this. You stand right behind that plastic bag as well, okay? Can you come over here? I need you to stand right behind that mint tin. You see that? That little red thing that says Altoids? Yep, you stand there. You can stand right behind that lamp-looking thing. I need you over here. Yeah, that works. Okay. So, first, what's your name?
Danny.
Danny, can you pick that up for me? Very good. You did a good job. Hand it off to your friend over here. What's your name?
Jackson.
Jackson. Thank you, Jackson. How light is that?
Very light.
Very light. What's it look like? What is it? Yeah, it's some sort of plastic packing unit, right? That goes in boxes when they get shipped to your house. All right, thank you. You can set that back down. All right. What's your name? What was that?
Finn.
Finn. I have a cousin named Finn. Did you know that? What's your last name? Engel? Guess what his last name is? It's Thomason. Can you pick up that Altoids tin? Very good. How light is that? Pretty light. Can you pick that up? This packing thing up. Which one's heavier? Yeah, the Altoids tin. Okay, very good. You can set them back down. Thank you. What's your name?
Stella.
Stella, can you pick up that lamp thing here?
Yeah.
How heavy is that?
Kind of
heavy. Kind of heavy. Okay, can you hand it off to Riley over here? Riley, how heavy is that? Probably heavier than those. You want to check? Which one's heavier? Okay, very good. All right. Thank you, guys. What's your name? Amelia, can you pick that thing up? First off, what is that thing?
Kind of like a vase.
Kind of like a vase, yeah. You'd put some dirt in it, maybe a seed and plant, and it would grow up. Okay, go ahead and pick that up for me. How heavy is that?
Heavy.
Heavier than those things? You want to check? You don't want to check? You sure? That's a lamp. That could have a genie in it. Okay, fine. You can set it down. Okay, what's your name?
Max.
Max, can you pick that up? All right, okay, you set it back down. I've got, my wallet is over here, all right? There's a $10 bill in that. Can you do a full curl of that right there? See if you can do that. No, you gotta come all the way up, bud. You wanna give another try? You sure? Okay. All right, okay. It's a little heavier. Do you think it's heavier than those other things? Yeah, okay. Now, we have right here a piano. And Jason, if you're listening in the back, it's okay. We're not going to let them destroy it. I've got $100 that I will PayPal your mom and dad if you can lift this piano off the ground, all the wheels. No, just you. Just you. You get one shot.
I can't do that.
You're not even going to try it? Okay. Sorry, mom and dad. $100 bills will have to come some other time then. All right. You guys can all sit down. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Debating whether or not I should just leave that there and avoid it for the rest of the sermon. We'll see. It might be worth it. We'll see. If I fall on my face, it'll be worth it for you guys. Maybe not for me. Okay. I want that to be an example for our faith today. They could lift the small things pretty easily. They had a little bit more trouble with that. That's 30 pounds right there, that 30-pound weight. And that piano is, I don't know, 500 pounds, 600 pounds, 12 pounds, 1,200 pounds. Okay, I was going to say, it's not quite 12, I didn't think. But that's pretty much impossible for an elementary school student to lift. I mean, I would struggle trying to bench that thing. I might get it done, but probably not going to happen. I'll be up front with you guys about the sermon here. This whole sermon is not my original idea. I have a great-grandfather that was a preacher, and I have some of his old sermon notes. So I took his outline and adapted it for today. His original main scripture for this passage is 1 Corinthians 13:2, and it's this: I have the gift of prophecy, if I have that, if I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries of knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. And that's a great passage. I'll encourage you guys to study that after the fact in light of today's sermon. But instead today, I'm going to direct your attention to a similar passage found in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 17. Now, Matthew did a really great job with these couple of chapters, 16 and 17 here. And there's so much to unpack there that we don't have time to, but I always find it interesting when he hits one thing after another, and it's all so seemingly different. First, in 16, the Pharisees ask for a miracle, and Jesus says, nope, not going to give it to you. Jesus gives the disciples a cooking lesson about bread and yeast. Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they gave some responses, and then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter knocks the ball out of the park with his answer there, so much so that there are a significant population of people today that pretty much think he's the first pope because of it. And then, ironically enough, after Jesus predicts the future immediately next, Peter says something so stupid in response to that that Jesus calls him Satan. So is Peter the first pope, or is Peter Satan? You guys can study that. I'll let you guys decide. But in 17, Peter, James, and John get to see Jesus in his full heavenly glory, with the faith forefathers, Moses and Elijah, who had long been dead. And that is an amazing thing and probably an amazing boost to their faith in Jesus himself. But then comes later in verses 12 through 18, our passage here. There was a man who had a sick son who appeared to be suicidal, throwing himself into lakes and fires. The disciples were made aware of this issue, and so they tried to fix it. Thought, there's a demon in it, we got to cast him out. But they just couldn't do it. So the man brought his son to Jesus, the big man himself. And Jesus was able to take care of the problem and cast the demon out right on the spot without any trouble at all. And so the disciples come to Jesus privately afterwards, probably a little bit embarrassed because they couldn't do it. And they asked him, why couldn't we cast it out? And then verse 20, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I'm going to read that again because that is our main verse for today. Because of your little faith. And actually, when he says because of your little faith, he actually makes that a noun. He calls them little faith people. Because you're little faith people. For truly I say to you, if you have a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, what is that faith, and where can I get it? In fact, I would be okay with a little bit less. I don't really care all that much about moving mountains. If I could just move my coffee cup in the morning with a little bit of faith, that would make my day a whole lot easier. I've got Star Wars Episode 5 in the back of my mind here, where you have Luke lifting up the little stones with the Force, and then he's not thinking that it's possible to lift this giant X-Wing up the spaceship that he flew in and crashed into the swamp. And then his teacher, Yoda, came and lifts it up like it's no trouble at all. You know, I've been told that Obi-Wan Kenobi has a striking resemblance to Jesus. There's a lot of people that get the two confused in pictures. And so if you can think of Obi-Wan Kenobi lifting a heavy object like a mountain, you might have a good idea of what it would look like for Jesus to do just that. So if you do a search on Obi-Wan and Jesus, you'll find several pictures that look very similar there. I also realized that I've been using this term mountain, and some of you may have lived in Indiana for all your life. Think hill, but bigger. Then double it, maybe a few more times, and then you'll have a good idea what a mountain is. So no matter how cool it would be to lift mountains with faith, with my mind, I don't think Jesus is actually suggesting we literally try and move mountains, and I think you guys are on board with that as well. So if it's not literal mountains, what is he talking about, and what does that mean for us? So I think the mountains that people need moved are the mountains of stone in their own hearts, their hard-heartedness. Be mountains of doubt, the mountains of pain and sorrow, mountains of guilt, mountains of fear, mountains of anger, mountains of jealousy, mountains of sin. And these mountains get in your way. They're set in your path. And they're so big that you can't ignore them. They're right there, right in front of you. And these get in the way of the relationship that we should have with God. It makes life more difficult. So more seriously this time, what is this faith? And where can I get it? And like Greg pointed out earlier, Hebrews 11 has something to say about this. And that is a great passage about faith. It gives us somewhat of a clear idea about what faith is. It says in Hebrews 11, 1, "Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." That's the ESV version. The NIV says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." One point that I just want to make clear here is that faith is not just something that you have. It's not just a feeling. And that would be way easier for people to just claim faith, claim, you know, "I believe in Jesus, I have faith." It would be a whole lot easier for people that way. But faith is rather more like a living thing. Just like a human being is alive, faith is alive. If it's not growing, it's dead, just like a plant. If a plant stops growing, it's probably died. If your faith stops growing, it's probably died. So faith as a living thing, I want you to also think about it. Well, let's look at these quotes first. C.S. Lewis and... he says, "We have to be continually reminded of what we believe. Neither this belief nor any other belief will automatically remain alive in the mind. It must be fed." Martin Luther says, "Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith." James also has a lot to say about faith and whether it's alive or dead and how works plays into that, and check that out. That's James chapter 2. In Greek, the noun for faith is pistis. But there's a verb for it too. It's pistuo, which is to say, again, it's not just something you have. Even in the language itself, faith is something that you do. I faith, you faith, we faith, to faith is the base core translation of that Greek word. And so we have similar words like trust and believe because we don't really have the verb faith in the English language. We don't go around saying, "Hey, are you faithing today?" Or we don't go around saying, "Hey, I did a really good job faithing today." No, we really don't do that. And so we have similar words like trust and believe, but I think the greatest difference between those is that someone can tell me that my house is on fire and I can trust them, and I can truly believe that my house is on fire, but it's not until I call the fire department and say, "Hey, my house is on fire, I need you to take care of this problem," that I'm actually having faith that my house is on fire, because then I'm actually doing something about it. The house on fire, that's an easy faith call. There's no repercussion if I'm wrong. If my house isn't on fire, and I call the fire department, they're going to say, hey, your house is on fire. Why'd you call us? Is this a prank call? And I'm saying, no, somebody else told me that my house is on fire, and I took them seriously. If we're wrong in Christianity, that can mean a whole lot for our life. It means that I've wasted a good portion of my life trying to be a good person and help other people out when I could have been more selfish and made my life a whole lot easier. Does that make sense? So faithing in Jesus requires personal sacrifice. It means putting to death our old selves and becoming new in Jesus' life-giving identity. And that's a beautiful thing, but don't make the mistake. That's not easy. That's a hard call. Because putting yourself to death, even the words there, make it sound like it's a painful thing. And that makes sense. Things like addiction, sexual immorality, gluttony, excessive living, narcissism, revenge, stinginess are all too easy to get in the habit of and is extremely difficult to break. Those are all the marks of the old self and have no place in the kingdom of God that Jesus is inviting us to be a part of. They can build up from something small and pesky like Indiana Hills and grow to be much larger mountains in our life that can be harder to overcome. So what do we do when we find something too difficult to move by ourselves? We either get a tool or we ask people for help, or both. There's an armoire currently in my bedroom, and those of you, when I was moving in my house, those of you who helped me move it, know that it's pretty heavy. It's not easy. It's not a one-person job to move this armoire. I came back home from my family house, where it used to live, from a mission trip in Red Lake, Minnesota for a week. And when I got back, I was tired. I wanted nothing more to lay down in my bed and sleep. But I knew when I saw my dad and my neighbor in the house and they looked like they had a little bit of sweat going on that that wasn't going to be my next task. My next task was to help take this heavy armoire that's on the second floor of the house and help move it to the basement. And so we start wiggling it around and we get it to the stairs. And then we find out the stair has a step ceiling that was too small for this thing to go through, so we stop it on the stairs. A couple of people are holding it there while another one takes a screwdriver and tries to take the crown molding off of this thing. And we try to move it forward, and it's still stuck. We end up having to take the wrought iron railing from the stairs off completely in order to lift this thing over the side of the stairs. And then from there, we had to take that outside the front door, go to the outside entrance of the basement, walk it down the steps there, and continue wiggling it. This was no easy task. One person was not going to get this job done. We needed help with that and several tools, but we got it done. But if you think back to that example, I think multiple people could lift that piano. But Jesus uses this example of a mountain, something so ridiculously huge that it's just completely out of the mind for anybody to take up and lift and throw it anywhere. I've heard of people cutting through mountains or going around mountains, but they never truly flatten it, level it, or get rid of it, throw it somewhere else. If you look in your Bible, you'll probably see verse 21 is missing. If not, if you have it there, that's great. You might find it missing. If it's not there, it says this: however, this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There are certain things in our lives that we just can't do by ourselves as humans. We need God's help. We're not going to get anywhere without it. So this mountain, something that we can't do as humans, we need God's help with it. If you're seeing that verse 21 is missing, there's debate about whether or not that's originally in Matthew's gospel, but it is recorded in Mark 9, the story, in greater detail, and does include this bit about prayer. Prayer doesn't do anything for me. I don't do anything in prayer. When I come to prayer, I'm pretty much admitting to God that I can't do this by myself. There's nothing I can do about it. When I fast, in fact, that probably hurts me physically in order to get the things done that I need God to help me get done, because I have less energy and less food. And I think there's something to be said in that, that in our weakness, God is stronger. And I think in that, people come to faith because they see that God can overcome people's weaknesses. And we have a lot of weaknesses in our lives, and sometimes we have more than one mountain. So we need to trust and have faith in God, but we also need to faith. We need to live it out as a verb. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I'm going to break that down a little bit for us here. It can be discouraging to even look at the mountain of sin in your life, or the mountain of doubt or fear or pain and suffering, and a lot of times it seems like the work will never be done. So what do we do? Why not just leave it to God? That's to say, what do we do about it? Why not just give it to God and say, okay, all of you, you got this. I'm going to go over here and let you do your thing. It doesn't quite work like that. God can sure do that, yes, but he calls us to be a part of the process here. So Hebrews 11:1, faith is the confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So what do we not see? We don't see an end in sight. We don't see beyond the mountain. It's in our way. It's blocking our view. We don't see an end to suffering or pain. It's been here long before Jesus came, and it's been here long after, and it doesn't look like it's going away. We don't see how we can put a dent in that mountain, let alone move it. I'm just one person. I can't lift it. I can't be perfect. I've tried. I'm too dumb, let alone courageous to win against all the mountains that I've faced, let alone against the ones that I will. But the hope that I have is stronger, and it's not hope in my own power. So what do we hope for? We hope for the kingdom of God in our lives. That kingdom of God is a bunch of people, not just a few. Just one person can't do anything about a mountain. But if we have a whole nation trying to break down a mountain, then it could happen. But that's also the kingdom of God. God has to be central in that. We hope for an end to pain and suffering, the effects of sin. What are we confident and assured of? And the easy answer is it's in Jesus Christ. As Christians, that's the easy answer. But why are we confident of that? Confident on the account of the 12 who saw it happen personally. Of the Marys, Jesus' mother, and Mary Magdalene and Martha. Of Alexander and Rufus, who saw their father, Simon of Cyrene, who helped Jesus carry the cross, who were people that you could actually talk to at the time. Of the 500 who saw Jesus live and kick in long after he died. On the account of Saul, who was so changed in his experience that he changed his name from Saul to Paul. He gave up all of his fame and power as a leading and prominent Pharisee to swing all the way on the other way and say, none of that matters, only Jesus matters. On the account of many who saw the miracles of Christ, on the account of those who met Jesus personally and were forever changed, but more personally, on the account of people in my life growing up that gave up countless hours to invest in me, my family who had sacrificed their own financial wealth in order to run ethical businesses, on account of those who have made the world a better place, provided water and food for the hungry and the thirsty, provided medical attention for those who are sick and hurting. It's on those people's account. And in Jesus himself, I believe in Jesus and his power to level those mountains and bring an end to pain and suffering. So because of that, Christians are those people who live out faith, who join in God's work in bringing those mountains down, give a confession of faith, usually at baptism. And the confession of faith is usually this or some variant thereof. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And it's easy to say, easy to believe, not as easy to faith. So what I want you to do today, just as a demonstration of your faith, would you say that with me, if you truly believe that? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And in saying that, in confessing that, you hold yourself to a standard to pick up your picks and pickaxes and go to town on those mountains. And the mountain we look to shouldn't be a pain or fear of sin. We should be able to get past that in Jesus and Jesus' help in due time. Maybe the mountain that we should focus on most right now is a physical mountain, like Rushmore or Everest. And it's Mount Calvary. Because it's there where the biggest mountain was crushed. It's there where Jesus was hung up on a cross, and where Satan had meant a victory over God and humankind, but God had other plans. And Jesus became that sacrifice for us. So I want you guys to have faith, to live faith, even when you have doubts, even when the pain and suffering is too much and you feel like there's nothing to be done. When there's a mountain of anger in front of you, there's a mountain of jealousy, have faith. Talk to those around you. Ask them, what is the next step that I should take in this? Because I don't know how I'm going to get it done. And then do it. That's what it means to faith. We can move mountains, and nothing will be impossible for us. If you didn't make that statement just now, but you feel like maybe you need to take that on in baptism, today is the day to do that. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So as we continue to worship this morning, as we continue to sing praises to God and in total faith, that is another way that we faith, is through worship. Come on up, talk to me or Greg, and we'll be happy to talk to you about baptism and what it'll look like for you to faith in that. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Allow us to come to you completely uninhibited, without fear, without doubt, but just with a sense of awe and love in our hearts for you. Help us to trust in your plan for our life, even when we can't see it. Allow us to take steps forward when we feel like nothing is going right. Help us move the mountains in our hearts and move us to help others move their mountains. Lord, we love you. We ask for your blessings. We praise you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.